Here's Andy Udman.
And I think it's a combination of, yes, we're eating too much wheat in our diet, but overall we're eating too many carbohydrates in our diet as a general rule of thumb. But one of the biggest culprits, you're absolutely right, one of the biggest culprits is going to be the excess consumption of wheat.
Wheat products, such as whole wheat bread, raise your blood sugar higher than nearly all other known foods. And so I'd have patients take wheat out of their diet. They'd come back 3 months later, 30 pounds lighter. Their blood sugars did indeed drop from the diabetic or pre-diabetic range, but it was all the other things they'd started to tell me, such as their asthma had improved so much that they stopped three inhalers. Their rheumatoid arthritis improved, their ulcerative colitis improved, their acid reflux went away, their irritable bowel syndrome got better, the rash of 8 years disappeared, on and on and on. It became clear, the more I heard these stories, that this was not an accident, this was not a coincidence, this was real, and that people were experiencing incredible improvements in health just by the elimination of this thing being sold was called wheat.
Folks, I'm holding in my hands a book. I was at Costco, and they have a pile of books, but this one caught my eye. It has a white cover, and it shows a stack of bagels. Could be from any bagel shop, Tim Hortons, whatever. One, two, three, four. A stack of bagels. And the simple title is Wheat Belly. It is a book that has taken the world of nutrition by storm. It is, it's been on the New York Times bestsellers list. And it is a book that you need to know about because it is a book that is changing lives. But you better brace yourself because, as so often happens when we talk to Pam Colleen and some of the guests that she brings along, there are some old attitudes about what we eat that get rocked. And Pam, you're at it again this morning. Wheat belly. Now you're going after wheat.
That's right. The sacred cow of Canada.
The sacred cow. Is there anything healthier than wheat?
Oh, I mean, wheat is something that you certainly need to be very cautious of if you do have it in your diet. I mean, our ancestors had a more pure sort of wheat that they were eating historically, but they also knew that if you did eat wheat or grains in general, that they should be soaked and fermented. And we've lost all this intelligence today, and we've lost a good quality type of grain in our diet as well.
It's an incredible story. I want to share it right off the top. Mm-hmm. And I hope the person is listening, and I hope he calls before we talk to Dr. William Davis, the author. Here's what happened. He was at Chapters here in London.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking along. A book falls off. He's fascinated. He takes it home. He reads it. He's so fascinated, he reads it again. Here's a guy who's religious about working out. Works out all the time. Says he's worked out for 20 years. He's buff, but he can't get rid of the belly fat. After reading this book and dropping wheat from his diet, in a month, he had dropped close to 30 pounds.
I'm not surprised at all. I mean, wheat has a lot of very negative consequences if you're going to overconsume it and consume the wrong kind of wheat on
but
top
Pam,
of it.
But Pam, you're taking away my muffins. You're taking away my bagels. You're taking away... Okay, now, don't tell me whole wheat is not good for me.
Listen, wheat is wheat is wheat. I mean, this notion of eating whole grain as being healthy, that's just a smokescreen. I mean, you just, you know, you have to be very careful in if you are going to consume grain. And really, honestly, if people never want to eat grain the rest of their lives, I'd be perfectly fine with that.
In the prelude to his book, Dr. William Davis writes, modern wheat. Okay, that's important, that word modern. Today's wheat, not the wheat that God made. No, the wheat that we have modified. Modern wheat is no more real wheat than a chimpanzee is an approximation of a human. Dr. Davis joins us this morning. Good morning, Dr. Davis.
Good morning, Eddie.
Unbelievable. Incredible book. It's had tremendous success for you.
Well, I think that's because of, like the story you just told about the book flying off the shelf in front of this guy, is people are experiencing big effects. You know, if this thing happened, if this book came out and a couple of people lost a few pounds and that was the end of the story, this would have just fizzled, right? But we're seeing the opposite. We're seeing transformations in health and weight. And we have people like this guy you talked about who was working out and can't lose weight and finally loses 30 pounds in a month. That's exactly what I'm seeing, too.
I always like to ask guests like you, what was the moment? that you had your, what was the moment that you had your epiphany when a little light in your brain went on and went, holy smokes?
Yeah, I wish I could tell you that it happened all at once. It didn't. It really happened in little bits and pieces. But the turning point for me was what I do in my practice, is try to prevent or stop or even reverse heart disease, that is coronary disease. And if you want to do that, you cannot be diabetic or pre-diabetic. And so the people come to my office to learn how to stop their heart disease, 80% of them, 80% are diabetic or pre-diabetic. And so I just use that very simple fact that whole wheat raises blood sugar higher than 6 teaspoons of table sugar. And it's shocking that this is not talked about more. This is in all tables of glycemic index. So I'd have people remove it. They'd come back 3 months later, and blood sugars would indeed be much improved. Many diabetics became non-diabetic off all their drugs. But they would tell me all these other stories.
Dr. Davis, I'm going to jump in, and forgive me, I'm not trying to be rude, but I love when guests drop bombshells, but sometimes they go right over our listeners' heads if they're not paying full. You just dropped a bombshell. What percent of the population are you suggesting either is diabetic or pre-diabetic?
There's about 10% of the U.S. and likely and also Canada is overtly diabetic. And about another 20-25% are pre-diabetics. We're talking about a lot of people, and you've heard these statistics. In the coming years, about half of all adults will have diabetes.
And you said, but you're seeing as a cardiologist, you're seeing heart patients, and you're saying that 80% of them are diabetic or pre-diabetic.
Yeah, because these people, Pam, are already stable. They have heart disease. They've had 3 stents. They've suffered cardiac arrest. They've gone through bypass. These people have declared disease, and they're farther along. But they have incredible effects. And by the way, you can stop heart disease, by the way. There is no need to have an $80 billion new wing. I'm in Milwaukee. I believe there are now 16 heart programs. This is big money, and we can stop it. I haven't seen a heart attack in years. And this is a high-risk practice. People have had cardiac arrests and bypass and defibrillators. These people are happy, healthy. They send me postcards on vacation. They haven't seen a heart attack in years. They haven't seen the inside of a hospital in years. But we've done this using diet primarily. But it's the diet that is the exact opposite of the one we're told to eat. If we cut our fat, eat more healthy whole grains, you will have diabetes, weight gain, obesity, arthritis, acid reflux, heart disease. And you will feed the system with your health problems.
Our engineer tells me with his sensitive equipment, he can pick up the fact that people are now throwing things at the radio because they're worried that you're going to say, back away from the muffins, back away from the bagels, and don't believe this myth about whole wheat bread.
It is a complete fiction. The essential point, if there's one thing everyone remembers, it's this. There is a protein in wheat called gliadin. And the gliadin of 2012 is very different from the gliadin of 1950, thanks to the changes introduced by genetics research. So the changes introduced into wheat were meant to increase yield. And that's a good thing, but they changed the appearance of this plant. It's now 18 inches tall. It's not 4 feet tall. It looks very different. It's got a big seed head. The seeds are much bigger. It's biochemically different. It's genetically different. And one of the essential changes introduced into this new high-yield plant is a transformation of the gliadin protein. This gliadin protein is a powerful opiate. It binds to the opiate receptors of the brain. But in a way, it doesn't provide pain relief. It doesn't provide euphoria. It only provokes appetite. It provokes appetite to the tune of 440 more calories per day, 365 days per year. So we have this unwitting population in Canada and the U.S. and the rest of the world being exposed to this opiate that stimulates appetite. Everyone's looking at each other saying, why am I gaining all this weight? I exercise, I push the plate away, I don't eat junk, I try to cut my fat, I smaller portions, smaller plates, I even skip some meals, and I've gained 12 pounds this year. I don't get it. It's all in my belly. You remove the wheat, it disappears, just as the one guy.
That is phenomenal. Doctor, we have to take a short break, but I want to issue this challenge to our listeners. I've just looked around the radio station, and there are lots of people who work out regularly. There are lots of people in this building who are young and very fit, and there are a few who, as they slide into their late 40s and 50s, suddenly find that no matter what they do, they're carrying a soccer ball. And it's inside their shirt, just above their belt buckle. And I've been noticing over the last 3 days, it is shocking. It is shocking how many men have this soccer ball hanging over the front of their belt. And then sometimes it's not just a soccer ball, it is a beach ball. I'm daring one of you who has a soccer ball under your shirt and has battled that soccer ball to call me and share your story, because you need to talk to Dr. Davis, the author of Wheat Belly. Not Beer Belly, Wheat Belly. Back with Dr. Davis in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Phone lines are lighting up. Absolutely, Pam. The phone lines are lighting up. We got Catherine. We got John. We got Ann. All on this issue of belly fat and how to get rid of it. Let's start with Ann. Ann, is this an issue for you or someone you love?
It was for me. I've been struggling with trying to lose weight for, I'm going to say about 8 years now, ever since I got into my 40s. And everything, like the doctor said, everything was right at the waist, just sitting there. Couldn't seem to get rid of it, and I'm not an overeater. I watch what I eat. I walk every day for like an hour at a time, and I just couldn't get anywhere. So last weekend I was in the States, and I was in Barnes & Noble, and I saw the book, and I'd heard about it, so I thought, I'm going to give it a whirl. I'd actually been kind of trying it for about the last 3 weeks, and already for me, I've lost 10 pounds.
Wow.
And give a high five to our guest this morning, Dr. Davis. Say hello and ask him whatever question you want.
Well, I hi there, and thanks for your book. It's amazing. And you know what? It makes sense. Before I backed away from gluten thinking, okay, that's what it is that's bothering me, I knew it had something to do with all the bread and the dough and all that kind of stuff, but I could never pinpoint anything. But I guess with some of the gluten-free stuff, it's not always carb-free either, is it? Like, it still has the wheat base.
Dr. Davis, what advice do you have for Ann in these early stages of addressing her weight, thanks to your book, Wheat Belly?
Isn't that great, by the way? I wrote this book for the Anns of the world. I didn't write this for the 14-year-old kid who plays Xbox for 6 hours and eats candy bars and jelly beans. I'm talking to the nice people like Ann who say, I don't get it. I've been exercising. I don't overeat. I do all the right things, and I've got this big belly. I cannot get rid of it. You get rid of the wheat, and as you see, she's not talking about a year's worth of hard work and running marathons and depriving herself. She just shifted her food choices away from this thing called wheat, and she loses it.
Mm-hmm.
But she makes an excellent point. If you replace wheat, if we take a bad thing out of our diet called wheat, we don't want to replace it with another problem. And that's what gluten-free foods are. Gluten-free foods are an abomination. They're a mistake. Because what these people have done, usually unknowingly, it's not intentional, they just are too ignorant about nutrition. And what they've done is replace wheat with one of four ingredients: cornstarch, rice starch, tapioca starch, or potato starch. Those dried pulverized starches with high surface area raise blood sugar even higher than wheat. So wheat is among the highest of all. These are the only foods, except for dates and figs, that raise blood sugar even higher. So if you shift over to gluten-free foods, the tummy comes back, the blood sugar comes back. You won't have addiction. You won't have food appetite stimulation. You may not have acid reflux and arthritis from it, like you would from wheat, but you'll have all the blood sugar consequences because of the way those starches are made. So the thing I do, what Ann can do, is look at the recipes in the back of the book. Look at the recipes on the blog. I always I post recipes frequently on the Wheat Belly blog. And I show nice people like Ann how to make pizza, cookies, muffins, cakes from healthy alternative ingredients. I had 2 slices of pizza last night, and of course, no problem.
Ann, we have other callers who we have to get to, but I just want to ask you if you have a comment for Dr. Davis about how his book has changed your life.
Well, for me, it's changed my life totally, because I could not, I would try and try and try, and then I got to the point where I was basically starving myself.
Ann, are you saying that Dr. Davis might get a Christmas card from you this year?
Yeah, totally.
Ann, that's a wonderful story. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ann.
Let's go to John. John, go ahead.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. Your question or comment for Dr.
I'm over 62 years of age. At one time, I hovered around 305 to 310 pounds for over 20 years. I haven't had the opportunity to read Dr. Davis's book, but I'm going to. In February, I made a decision to stop eating anything that was white. Anything that was made of white flour, which is pasta, breads, any kind of bread. And I have lost 55 pounds.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Wow. That's awesome, John. We got that advice from a naturopath 30 years ago. If it's white, ditch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
White bread, white flour. But what do you think of Dr. Davis's book, Wheat Belly, and his theory?
Well, like you say, I haven't had the opportunity to read his book. I don't think it's a theory. I think it's a fact.
John, we have to let you go. Do yourself a favor and go and stand in front of a mirror.
No, I don't have to. I walk down the street. People who haven't seen me for a while look at me and say, geez, what are you doing?
Well, now go and stand in front of a mirror and read the book. Thanks, John. I appreciate it. Let's go to Catherine. Catherine, go ahead.
Hello. Yes, I have read the book. I actually purchased it after hearing about it on Pam's show about 3 weeks ago. Absolutely wonderful book. I was actually vegan and vegetarian, and although I lost weight everywhere else, I went down to about 129, 130. But for my height, I should be probably 120. So I've always felt like, why have I got this abdominal fat that looks like you can grab it and jiggle it around? And I always thought that I never had eaten white bread for probably 30 years, but I always bought what I called the good bread, the ones that didn't have the fructose and glucose in it, but had the whole grains. And then after reading this, I thought, well, this is probably still not clean enough for me. I really have to sort of eliminate even that. I don't eat cookies and cake hardly ever, so I don't care about that. So that's not an issue for me, but I do like bread, and I always put healthy things on it, you know, coconut oil or hummus or something. And so it's been sort of frustrating to think, well, why can't I get into my, I was wearing size 6 in 2008. And now I'm up to about a size 10 or 12.
Catherine, I want to share with you one paragraph from Dr. Davis's book about how tough it is to give up bread. He says, I recognize that declaring wheat a malicious food is like declaring that Ronald Reagan was a communist. It may seem absurd, even unpatriotic, to demote an iconic dietary staple to the status of public health hazard. But I will make the case that the world's most popular grain, wheat, is also the world's most destructive dietary ingredient. Catherine, we thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Okay, we have to take a short break before a news update. When we come back, Pam, people are going to say, Pam, I can't give up my muffins. I can't give up my bagels. What am I going to do? Help me. We'll get advice from Pam and from Dr. Davis when we come back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
I've been struggling with trying to lose weight for, I'm going to say about 8 years now, ever since I got into my 40s. And everything, like the doctor said, everything was right at the waist. Just sitting there, couldn't seem to get rid of it. And I'm not an overeater. I watch what I eat. I walk every day for like an hour at a time, and I just couldn't get anywhere. So last weekend I was in the States, and I was in Barnes & Noble, and I saw the book and I'd heard about it, so I thought, I'm going to give it a whirl. I'd actually been kind of trying it for about the last 3 weeks, and already for me I've lost 10 pounds.
Isn't that great, by the way? I wrote this book for the ends of the world. I didn't write this for the 14-year-old kid who plays Xbox for 6 hours and eats candy bars and jelly beans. I'm talking to the nice people like Ann who say, I don't get it. I've been exercising. I don't overeat. I do all the right things, and I've got this big belly. I cannot get rid of it.
Dr. William Davis is the author of Wheat Belly. Doctor, I have a question for you. I live near an intersection called Springbank and Wonderland. There's a gluten-free store there. I have friends who shop at Loblaws. There's a gluten-free section. There's a gluten-free store on Wellington at South. There are gluten-free stores popping up like mushrooms. Dr. Davis, what's going on?
Well, they got it wrong. It's just another result of the incredible ignorance. These are nice people, I'm sure. They mean well, but they've made a big mistake. So if I eliminate all wheat in my diet, and I experience a health benefit, but I turn down to jelly beans and ice cream every day, I'm going to have a lot of health problems. I might be better off without joint pain, say an acid reflux, as you get from wheat, but I'm going to have a big belly. I'm going to have diabetes and high blood sugars. And so we want to eliminate the problem in diet, wheat, and not replace it with another problem like gluten-free junk carbohydrates, rice starch, tapioca starch, corn starch, and potato starch, and that's what they use in these products. So I had pizza last night, but I made the dough with ground almonds and coconut flour. Now, it doesn't sound all that delicious until you add a few other ingredients, and actually, I had a very delicious pizza. In fact, most people couldn't even tell the difference. And I topped it with cheese and sauce and olive oil and all of that kind of good stuff. It was delicious. People cannot tell. I do have muffins. I'm going to have some coffee cake later today. But you make them with different ingredients. And it's the difference between having, say, a bagel or a roll, having heart disease risk, diabetes, acid reflux, bowel urgency, dementia, changes in your thinking, mind fog, learning disabilities in children. Now I can have that roll or cupcake or bagel, and nothing happens.
The other thing I see, Dr. Davis, is that people use these foods, these gluten-free foods, or switch to wheat and other grains instead. And what they're still doing is just displacing the more nutrient-dense foods like meat and eggs. And unfortunately, today we have a tremendous amount of fear-mongering going on over the consumption of traditional foods like meat and eggs.
Exactly, Pam. So it is a return. This is a declaration of freedom from this thing that keeps us coming back for more and stimulates appetite and makes our bellies grow. Instead, we're going to eat more vegetables and meats and eggs. And by the way, have the skin on your chicken, have the fat on your steak, have the fat on your pork, have fatty bacon, have avocados and olives. Eat real single ingredient foods, the ones that are least mucked up by agribusiness. So it's a return to real food minus this thing that the geneticists changed.
Doctor, I can't tell you how passionately I feel about what you're saying and what Pam's saying every Thursday when she comes on, because we have a health crisis here that's like a tsunami, and we're not recognizing it. Let me give you one tiny example. I went to a wedding on the weekend. The bride has Crohn's disease. Wasn't mentioned at the reception. It's not the kind of thing you talk about. I just cringed when I heard it. I'm hearing these stories all the time. People who are allergic to wheat products, Crohn's disease, diabetes, heart disease, on so many fronts. We have a healthcare crisis. Does anybody recognize how big this tsunami is?
Yes, I think people do. But they point their fingers at you. They say, you're part of the problem. You're gluttonous. You're lazy. And you're fat, and you deserve it. And if you want to get skinny, you better cut your calories, cut your fat, eat more healthy whole grains. You know, it's not funny, but it's almost a joke in how bad the advice is. You know, it'd be bad enough, I think, if the advice to eat more healthy whole grains were just ineffective. But it's not ineffective. It actually causes all the problems that we're seeing around us. So people are not diabetic by accident. They are diabetic by design. By the way, now I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't want to sound like one. But the most vigorous supporters of the wheat lobby, that is the wheat trade groups, the people who lobby Health Canada and U.S. government, USDA, the biggest supporters are the diabetes drug manufacturers.
That's right.
They have been for 20 years.
That's right.
That is so nauseating.
And another element associated with diabetes, I'm not sure if you're familiar with alloxin, but alloxin is formed during the processing of the flour, and scientists use alloxin to induce type 1 diabetes in lab animals, and that's present in our flour.
Dr. Davis, I was pleased that very early in your book, in fact on page 10, you recognize how difficult it is to remove wheat from your diet and all the products made from wheat, like bagels, like muffins. On page 10, under the headline, A Radical Wheatectomy, you write, for many, the idea of removing wheat from the diet is, at least psychologically, as painful as the thought of having a root canal without anesthesia. What stories have you heard from people who say, Dr. Davis, I love you, but I'm not going to stop eating all the products made from wheat?
Well, then be prepared. You're going to have joint pain. You're going to have heart disease, diabetes, cataracts, arthritis, dementia, neurological impairment. In other words, the list of conditions that comes from eating modern wheat is like a textbook of illness, because it causes so, it would fill a book to list all the conditions caused by wheat. It reaches into child health, women's health, health of the elderly. There's no one spared from this. And there are people who, there are a lot of great people like the caller earlier, and who experience perceptible changes. There are many, many people who perceive changes in their health. Some people say that, I went without the wheat, and I can't really tell. So I lost 3 pounds. Big deal. But they have non-perceived changes in metabolism, and multiple things occur beneath the surface. Inflammatory markers drop like a stone. Small LDL. That's the number one cause for heart disease in Canada and the U.S. today. That plummets. People take cholesterol drugs, blood pressure drugs, acid reflux drugs, on and on and on, all to treat wheat consumption. So if you continue to eat wheat, be prepared to have a lifetime of medication, heart procedures, other procedures, hospitalization, and other health problems.
How many times a year do you prescribe statin drugs?
One of my things I do in practice, Pam, is I manage what are called complex hyperlipidemias. These are the complex sorts of cholesterol disorders. Hardly ever.
Doctor, I think the devil sits around inventing new ways to make people sick, and he's very good at it. But if he's really doing his job, he will add to the long list of diseases related to eating wheat. Diabetes, heart disease, arthritis, rashes, schizophrenia, cataracts. I'm sure he's going to throw in libido.
Yes, excellent. This catches the attention of the guys in particular. So wheat consumption that leads to a wheat belly, that is visceral fat that encircles the organs, is a peculiar thing. It has an enzyme called aromatase. And aromatase converts testosterone to estrogen. And so guys with a wheat belly have high levels of estrogen. It makes them tired and emotional and sad or depressed, and it drops libido. This tummy fat also allows prolactin levels to go high. Prolactin meaning encouraging the production of milk, but in guys, of course, you don't make milk, you just make big breasts. So guys often, along with their big bellies, have big breasts. Breast reduction surgery, elective breast reduction surgery in males is the fourth most common elective procedure in the U.S. today.
Unbelievable. Guys, you got to be paying attention because what the doctor is saying is you really do want to avoid man boobs and having a soldier who won't salute. Let's go back to the phones now. Darlene, what's on your mind this morning?
Hi there. I'm a 40-year-old woman, and a year ago I was really quite ill. My joints were swollen to the point that I could barely walk. My liver enzymes were up to almost 1,000, where normal is 35. They put me on prednisone. They put me on all these medications and said, that's the life you're going to have. And I had to go gluten-free because of my daughter's health issues, and my swelling went away. I weaned myself off of all the medications, and I'm awesome now. I'm perfectly back to normal. What scares me is I hear this, but at what point as a society, do we go back and say what they're poisoning us?
Doctor, your response to Darlene?
That's incredible, Darlene, and good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We say it now, Darlene. We don't wait. We don't wait for the government to catch up to us, because I tell you what, the government advice comes from industry. Too often we got two cozy relationships between Health Canada, USDA, and the industry themselves. So there's this back and forth, this revolving door of the high-level executives. In many ways, government advice is industry advice. So we cannot wait for those people to own up to this, hold by the horns and say, that's it, we've had enough. I was very ill with wheat. I refused. I don't care what they say about eating more healthy whole grains. And by the way, there is no deficiency. There is no deficiency that develops in nutrition.
Nope.
Okay, Darlene, nope. You have another question?
Well, where do we turn? And as a society and as communities, who do we yell at? And who do we say change needs to be made? I want my wheat to be what it was 50 years ago. I don't want it to be modified to do what they think it's doing for society. It's not healthy. And they're poisoning people, and it really makes me sick when I get thinking about it and I hear this conversation that literally the healthcare system is inundated with people like myself. A year ago, I could have stayed on prednisone and I could have been swollen from age 40 till the day I die. But when do we as a society, and who do we yell at?
Well, who do we make accountable for this?
Exactly.
But they have too much power and control. They have way too much power and control, and the media, of course, is heavily compromised, and our universities are heavily compromised,
yeah,
as well. So you have to take the bull by the horns, and you have to take control of your own health and rise above a lot of the misinformation that's out there today.
Doctor,
okay,
before we let Darlene go, you got to give her one really strong word of encouragement, because I just recognize her voice, and she's absolutely one of the finest piano players that I know, and works with children like very few people I know. A word of encouragement for Darlene.
Well, she has seen, she's witnessed the success herself. The best thing you can do right now is vote with your pocketbook. Buy nothing made of wheat. Educate the kids around you. Educate the parents, the people around you. Set the example. Be,
yeah,
a slender, healthy, glowing example. People ask you, Darlene, why do you look so good? You were sick a year ago, but how come you look so good now? You tell them. That's how you affect change,
yeah,
at the grassroots level.
And that's what I'm doing. I'm trying, and everybody just keeps arguing. It's too hard to give up. And I'm like, well, it's not when it's your health. So,
Darlene, great call, and
great.
I wish you all the best.
Great.
And
thank
I
you,
still
Andy.
Love you for the way you play the piano.
Oh, thank you. And I can play better now. My hands aren't sore.
All right. Terrific. That's great. Let's go to Tim. Tim, go ahead.
Well, I was just wondering, Andy, if your guests could differentiate or just compare how this concept differs from the Atkins diet, and not just the induction phase of that, but the later stages where he allows people to add back in what he would have called good carbohydrates at that point in time. I'd be interested to hear that. Also, just as an aside, in today's Metro paper on page 15, there's a little article on diet, and it talks about cutting wheat out as well. So
good.
I'm interested to hear the doctor's answer to that question.
You hang up, and he'll give you the answer. Go ahead, doctor.
Well, isn't it interesting that many successful diet programs like Atkins, like South Beach, like Sugar Busters, Dr. Gott's No Sugar, No Starch diet, they all share one thing. They succeed in the beginning because they eliminate wheat. They don't specify wheat. They just say carbs, right? Carbohydrates. And so South Beach, they eliminate carbohydrates or cut it down to a low level. People lose weight. Women go from a size 16 to a size 4 bikini, and then they add back the grains in phase 2, phase 3, for instance, and they regain the weight. So a lot of these diet efforts, diet programs danced around this issue but didn't quite get it. So all I've done is point out that the reason they succeeded is not the carbs necessarily. It's removal of this appetite stimulant, this inflammatory thing called wheat. And if you recognize that, you become liberated. You recognize the problem in diet is not just the carbohydrates. It is specifically the wheat component, the grains.
Doctor, we're going to have to move on. We got more people who want to talk to you. Sean, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going today?
Yeah, very quickly.
That's good. Well, about 10 years ago, my wife and I got married, and 9 years ago, we tried to have a family. We were trying. We went to a specialist in town and everything. And our chiropractors at the time, about a year and a half ago, started saying, hey, eat less wheat, eat less wheat. That could very well be your problem. I completely cut wheat out of my diet, and we're expecting our first child in a month.
Whoa, all right. See, I was talking about that libido, and the devil's at work when he brings the sex drive into it, and fertility. So, Sean, that is so exciting. Doctor, your comment.
Isn't that spectacular? I've seen this happen many times, too. Somehow fertility in males and females is heightened. It's the loss of the estrogen in the males. I'm not sure that it is in the females, but I've seen this now. I have a great friend, by the way, who's a fertility specialist, and he used to do all the in vitro fertilization. He said he hardly said it all anymore because he's just been removing wheat and other carbohydrates.
Well, that's an absolutely exciting story. Let's go to our next caller, Tim. Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just curious. You know, it's listening to the show today, and as I always do, to Pam Kleene as well. I was curious, what does the average guy eat, though? Like, does a book cover? Like, we don't all have time to make all these things. I know we should, but, you know, in our busy lives and stuff.
Tim, I got your question. It's a very good one. Doctor, your response.
So it's a return to real foods, Tim. It's a return to vegetables, meats, chicken, pork, beef, cheese, avocados, olives, lots of nuts, lots of seeds, and then, as you point out, you do have to make these replacement foods. We're on the cusp of a time when industry will come to the, you know, if there's a consumer demand, industry will meet it. So we will sometime in the future have access to, say, healthy breads, pastas, etc. But not yet, but maybe 6 months from now, very soon.
Tim, real quick question. What would be the toughest for you to give up listening to this?
Well, you know what? I love my toast. I love bread. I love pizza. I love all those things. Now, and I'm fit. I go to the gym all the time. I'm late 40s, but I have that little, you know, that little thing that everybody's here just describing. I'd love to get rid of. But you know what I wish would have? You know, my wish list. I wish the doctor would write a book, basically, what to eat. You know, he has. But like for the guy, like I'm a single guy. Like you know, I eat a lot of frozen foods. I eat a lot of entrees, dinners. I eat a lot of box cereals and stuff. You know, because it's easy, it's quick. You know, I'm busy. I wish somebody would just come up with something, you know, this is what you, you know what I mean? Like, just kind of outline this thing that would be healthy.
Well, this book has 50 pages at the back, which would be very helpful. By the way, are you a Sinky? A Sinky is that internet group. They've joined a club where they eat over the sink. They eat processed foods.
No, I don't do that.
Okay, I'm just kidding. Okay, short break, and then we'll give you a takeaway when we come back with the author, Dr. William Davis. The book is Wheat Belly, a must-read. If your waist is even 2 inches bigger than it should be. Back in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Dr. Davis, I don't know any other way how to do this. Your book is called Wheat Belly. We have just heard some dramatic testimonies of how it's changing people's lives. The next 2 minutes, no questions, it's yours. The book in 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, if there's one essential point for everyone to remember, that it's an opiate. So you are an addict. That is, you've been made an addict because I think, I like to think I'm a little bit smart, but I think there's a lot of smarter people out there who figured this out 25 years ago. I think smart food scientists caught on watching the behavior of people in their test kitchens and so on, and they said, this thing is, something is stimulating appetite. It must be the wheat flour, this new thing the geneticists have created. Let's not tell anybody. Let's put it in everything. Let's put wheat in Twizzlers, let's put it in Campbell's tomato soup, let's put it in Lipton instant soup, and taco seasoning, and granola bars, and breakfast cereals, and what will happen? We're going to have a nation that has its appetite stimulated, we're going to watch profits go up, we're going to watch revenues go up, and we're going to have an unwitting nation of addicts. And it all shows in the tummy, and it all shows, of course, in your hospital bills, and your medication. So I say, take back control. Recognize that this thing was likely done on purpose to you. It's been aided and abetted by Health Canada, by USDA, and by other official sources of nutrition. Get rid of it, and you'll see for yourself, like the callers who called in, you're going to see transformations in health. You're going to lose the tummy, lose blood pressure, lose blood sugar, lose joint pain, acid reflux, you name it. It's a shocking long list of things you can get rid of with elimination of modern wheat.
Very quickly, two issues that did not come up, they're in your book, acne for teenagers and aging.
Acne, big one. Kids who want to control, or even adults want to control their acne, get rid of this thing that stimulates insulin, that is the amylopectin A, unique carbohydrate in wheat that raises blood sugar sky high and thereby insulin. So kids have far better control over their acne. If you combine that with limiting dairy, they also have even better control along with sweets as well. Anything that stimulates insulin. Aging, a big one. It's a funny thing I don't fully understand, but this is a very common observation. I went wheat-free, I lost 30 pounds, and I feel 20 years younger. My skin glows, my hair is thicker, my joints are supple and free of discomfort. So all kinds of great stuff happens. That means you turn the clock back 10, 20 years. I don't fully understand it, but it's a really neat effect.
Give me 15 seconds on this one. I have a lot of friends who are farmers. Could you speak to them a moment? Because right now they're weeping into their handkerchiefs.
Yes, it's a big export also. Start thinking about, meet the demands of the consumer. As we shift buying habits in away from wheat, towards other things, meet those demands.
Well, I think we need to announce, everybody's going to be curious to visit your website. And what is your website?
Thanks for asking, Pam. It's wheatbellyblog.com.
Wheatbellyblog.com. And you have a lot of interactive questions and answers on your blog as well.
A lot of stuff there, as well as the Facebook page tied to the Wheat Belly.
Dr. Davis, I am not exaggerating. With the story I told at the top, the guy who's at Chapters, he sees it as a God thing. He thinks God nudged the book off the shelf. It fell right in front of him. Wheat Belly, he'd been working out for years. He's buff, except he's got this soccer ball. Thanks to your book, Dr. Davis, the belly is gone. If he were here, he'd buy you lunch. Doctor, we thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor.
Pam, anything you want to add?
Well, this fall I'm going to be teaching my four-week nutrition boot camp. It starts October 13th. That's at Central Library. I have information on my website, which is just my name, pamkilleen.com, and I'll be addressing the subject of grains.
And I'm meeting more and more of the people whose lives you're touching, and we're saving lives, and we're making babies, Pam. Saving lives.
I hope they name them after you.
Saving lives and making babies. I mean, what more could you dream about in talk radio? 11 o'clock news coming up in just a moment. All kinds of issues we want to talk to you about after the news right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.